What happens when a Catholic deacon matches wits with a Catholic radio show host? You get a marriage made in heaven. They may not always agree, but they're always faithful. It's the Aikens with their View from the Pew on Modern Day Radio.
And welcome to this episode of View from the Pew. I'm your host, Brenda Aiken, and joining me today is a man who's getting around on some new hot wheels this week, the good deacon, Scott Aiken.
You know, one of my favorite things is cars, and it's always been a part of my life. My dad instilled that in my brother and I, and I handed that on to our son. So if there's any car that driving on the road that I can just see the back taillights of it, I can tell you what car it is. So I've always had this enthusiasm for cars, and yet I have a need for a new car. And so how do I go about finding what I would like? And it takes a process. And that process I just devoted during this Lenten season to discernment and to be open to whatever that little itch or sign that you get that goes, oh, this might be the one. I need to pay attention to that. So I put my heartstrings down. I ended up getting a car that is great in many respects, practical in many respects, and age appropriate for a soon-to-be 60-year-old man.
All right. Yes, it is most definitely age appropriate for the both of us. But I do need to back up here a little bit because I do want to talk about this love of cars that you have and how you have instilled it in our son. He loves to talk about cars. He loves to look at cars. He loves to explain to me how cars work. It's so much so that if the three of us were on a long drive when he was still living at home in high school, I would voluntarily sit in the back seat. Because all the two of you would do was look around at the cars that were around us and talk about them. So I thought it would just be easier if you two sat in the front seat and just left me alone to read my book or look out the window at whatever I happen to want to look at there. So yes, that is a thing that you have passed on. It is a generational thing, I guess, within the Aiken name, that's for sure. But the other thing I want to get back to is discernment, because you spent hours when we had decided that, I mean, your truck, that diesel, the way that it is set up, the going back and forth, that short distance to school wasn't good for it, because then at the end of the week, you were having to take long drives to kind of clean out that exhaust system or whatever, how that diesel builds right up. You spent hours and hours reading, looking, deciding, sending me pictures of things. Now, we spent last weekend, we went as far as Salem, you know, drove an hour away to look at some very nice vehicles. And on the way down, we prayed. And I don't know that most people would ever even think about praying before going to look at a vehicle. But we believe that God actually will guide us. And through the Holy Spirit, that we would know that this is the vehicle for our family, for our finances, for what we need for it to do. And we left that car lot with some very beautiful options, but something within us just went, no, that's not right. Does God really care about the cars that we drive?
Absolutely. He cares about the smallest thing in our life, right? And that's what we have raised our kids to understand. I think it's recognized we have to live up to what we have taught our kids. And we do that. And we, as you said, we prayed on the way down. And we did. We had this feeling. We couldn't put our finger on it, but we knew that this was not right. This would be putting us in a position that would hurt us, not help us. And so came home. We prayed on it some more. I did some more searching. And then this car appeared that was not on my radar. And it's turned out to be the best choice. So not to divulge the car that we have, but I'll tell you, it is not a midlife crisis car.
No.
Thanks be to God.
It most definitely is not. And the thing that I had appreciated about this car that is different than what I have to drive every day is you do get to a certain age where sliding sideways in and out of your vehicle helps immensely. For my car, it is definitely a down up. And for your big truck, I'd have to take two steps to get up into the cab of that and almost feel like I'm sliding out of it when we get to our destination. So discernment is important. And we've spent many hours ourselves throughout our lives thinking and discerning. And one of the places that often is where we go to have very important focus discernment is right here in Portland, and that is the beautiful Grotto. And that brings us to today's topic. There are places in the world that are sanctuaries where we can go in the middle of chaos and just rest and be in the presence of our Lord. Every tabernacle in the world has Christ present in it. But boy, I would say there at the grounds of the Grotto, not only is he present in the tabernacle in their chapel, all over the ground, you feel that Holy Spirit sense there. And as Easter approaches, well, those grounds are even made more beautiful for this celebration.
Well, that's certainly the wonderful gift we have, that Mary gives us the presence to do whatever he tells us. And by her presence there at the Grotto, which you can certainly, as you're describing, feel, I've made the most consequential decisions since we've lived up here, praying at the Grotto, in the chapel. We've dedicated ourselves to Mary in the church. We've dedicated ourselves to Saint Joseph there in the church on the Grotto grounds, and I made my decision to say yes to the diaconate in front of the statue of Jesus and Mary, the Pietà, there at the Grotto, and just a beautiful gem we have and gift we have here in Portland.
So that brings us to today's show. Our guest, our good friend Chris Blanchard is joining us today. He is the executive director of The Grotto, the National Sanctuary of Our Sorrowful Mother. He's going to be joining us to tell us a little bit about all of the many ways that you can celebrate Holy Week and Easter there on their beautiful grounds.
When we come back, I'll share a little bit of my recent opportunity to give a presentation there at the Grotto for a community that meets on a regular basis.
So stay with us. We got a great show ahead for you on this week's View from the Pew.
Jesus came to point us to Mount Zion. Yes, Jesus encouraged us towards a mountaintop experience there with God our Father. Mount Zion is a hill, a peak, also called the City of David, the home of the Great Temple, also called Jerusalem. The prophet Isaiah called it the holiest place. Jesus in his ministry provided instructions, the good news, about reaching this holy place. Pray. Give thanks and praise to our Father in heaven. Show compassion and mercy to others. Be joyful. Forgive. Share with those in need. It is then that we become a new person in Christ. We rise up to the mountaintop experience of Mount Zion, living in a new Jerusalem, to enjoy our time in the holiest of places, now with God in the kingdom of heaven. This has been a bit of Catholic encouragement from Michael Gisande.
Throughout the Middle Ages, Benedictine monks brewed beer for their guests. This tradition lives on today through Benedictine Brewery at Mount Angel Abbey, where local monks specialize in Belgian-style ales and Bavarian-style lagers. Bring family and friends to enjoy food and time together in the St. Michael Tap Room, where you will gaze upon fields, mountains, glorious sunsets, and you might even meet a monk. God is glorified in all he has created. Taste and believe. Learn more at BenedictineBrewery.com.
It's Deacon Scott and Brenda Aiken with their View from the Pew on Mater Dei Radio.
Our Lenten journey is almost come to a complete. And do you feel like you've really entered this Lenten season, growing in grace and experiencing God's love as we journey towards this Easter celebration? Well, if you are looking to really do something more in these next 2 weeks, well, the perfect place you can experience God's grace and this beautiful Lenten and Easter season, head out to the Grotto, the National Sanctuary of Our Sorrowful Mother here in Portland. Joining us today, it is our good friend Chris Blanchard to let you know everything that they have planned to welcome visitors and the faithful alike this season. Good morning, Chris. Always a great morning when you join us.
Well, Brenda, it's always nice to talk to you. And I'm going to start out by thanking Deacon Scott Aiken for gracing us with his beautiful message at our monthly Mass, Lunch, and Learn here at the Grotto last week. We had a full house. It was an inspiring presentation, and we loved hearing his message. And we appreciate you marrying him sure you got him over to us.
It's worked out well for the both of us. Let me say that for sure. It was such a great experience for him as well, because it allowed him an opportunity to think about his own life and prepare this speech. And it's similar to what we're doing this Lenten season, is reflecting and then preparing. And throughout the season, too, the grounds there at the Grotto, you've been in a time of preparation, so that way all of the visitors that come can truly experience a blessed Lent. And now as we look forward to this Easter season, reconciliation is one of those big pillars that we look to during this Lenten season. And you've made sure there at the Grotto that there is plenty of opportunity to do that. And as we move forward and as we draw closer, Palm Sunday will be upon us. Boy, there is still opportunities to receive reconciliation. Tell us about your schedule.
The priest office and ready to do the sacrament from 10 o'clock to 11:45, throughout the week. So then again, in the afternoons from 3 to 5, we also have a priest back in the office in the plaza, and reconciliation is again available. And so leading up all through the Lenten season, through the remainder of the Lenten season, you can come to the Grotto for that sacrament. And what I'm really excited to tell folks is all our priests speak Spanish as well. And we do have Father Felipe here, who is from the Mexican province. So he's got that beautiful cultural connection and can really connect with the Latino community when they come in to see him for confession. So, every day, 10 to 11:45, and then in the afternoons from 3 to 5, you can come and receive the Sacrament of Reconciliation here at the Grotto.
Again, every way possible to make it available for people to receive reconciliation. So important to you and your staff and the Servites priests there at the Grotto. Chris, but that leads us, we are entering into Holy Week through Palm Sunday. So let's just begin with the schedule that you have planned and what people can expect to come during that beautiful Holy Week there at the Grotto. So Sunday, March 29th, it's Palm Sunday.
Well, I know it is, but can I jump back to March 27th, Friday the 27th?
Please do.
Because every Friday we have at 10:30, we have the Holy Hour of Mercy and the Eucharistic Adoration there. And then immediately after that on Friday, we have our beautiful Servite Rosary that's prayed there in the Chapel of Mary, which it's just a beautiful, beautiful way to connect with Our Lady. And then in the afternoon, we have the Via Crucis, we have the Stations of the Cross, and that's at 3 o'clock, and weather permitting, that is outdoors at our beautiful pathway in the forest to pray the Stations of the Cross. If the weather is too chilly or raining, we bring folks inside to the Chapel of Mary. But, you know, that's Friday. That's the Friday before Palm Sunday. But then our Holy Week is really kind of special. And I'm going to start with Holy Thursday. We do have the Sacrament of Reconciliation. We will not have Mass that day. But then we have the Mass of the Lord's Supper at 7 p.m. So no daily Mass, but the Mass of the Lord's Supper at 7 o'clock, and then Eucharistic Adoration from 8 until 9. Good Friday, again, we have a little different schedule than normal. We have the Sacrament of Reconciliation from 10 until 2 o'clock. No Mass that day. Then we have a special thing we do here every year at the Grotto. At 1 o'clock, we'll have the seven last words of Jesus, and we have a reflection and prayers to go along with that that'll be presented by the members of the community. And then again, at 3 o'clock, we have the Passion of our Lord, the Liturgy of the Word, and the Veneration of the Cross that day. And I know I'm giving you all sorts of information so quickly here, but Saturday, 10 to noon, we'll have a Sacrament of Reconciliation again here in the priest office and in the plaza. And then our Vigil Mass begins that evening at 8:30 p.m. So we'll have the blessing of the fire, preparation of the candles, and then a procession into the chapel for the Easter Vigil Mass. So big week leading up to Easter Sunday.
This is a big week for Catholics, and we prepare all year long for all of these special celebrations, so let's keep going. But that I do want to take a moment and say, you know, that beautiful Holy Saturday Vigil Mass, that is just, you know, all that we have to offer our church in sights and sounds and smells. It all comes together in that beautiful moment for Holy Saturday, and that is just the entrance to that Easter Sunday Mass, and you have a full schedule of events on Easter Sunday as well.
Well, we do. At 6:30, we're going to have the Easter procession, where Jesus meets Mary Magdalene. The Hispanic and Filipino community will be hosting that, but everybody is welcome for that. Then we go back to our normal Sunday schedule for the rest of Easter: 7:30 Rosary, 8 a.m. Mass, 9:30 Rosary, 10 a.m. Mass, 11:30 Rosary, and then the noon Mass. So, yeah, please come out and celebrate the resurrection of Christ with us. You know, this is the place to be, mm-hmm. I think,
yes.
On Easter Sunday. Hey, can I tell you a couple of things that are happening after Easter that are pretty exciting, too?
Yes, we would love to know that because, you know, for us Catholics, nothing is ever celebrated just on one day. The Easter season, well, it's not just a day. It is a season, and you just have things going on throughout the season. What else is coming up?
Well, I wanted to make sure everybody knows our monthly St. Peregrine Mass, which is normally held on April 4th, the first Saturday, because it is Holy Saturday, we're moving that St. Peregrine Mass to April 11th. So that starts at noon, and the Rosary, again, is prayed beforehand at 11:30. And then the last thing I'd like to mention for your listeners, we have Coin 6 evening news anchor Elizabeth Dinn coming to speak at our monthly Mass Lunch and Learn on April 14th. So the deal there is you come for Mass, we give you a meal, and you get to listen to Elizabeth Dinn's inspiring message of her Christian, of her faith, of her Christian mm-hmm. faith and her Catholic faith. And I think many people, if not all of your listeners, are going to be familiar with Elizabeth, because she certainly wears her faith on her sleeve. And we're really honored to have her. And again, that you sign up for that at www.thegrotto.org, and you'll be able to find out how to sign up for that. No cost for the meal, by the way, Brenda.
Okay. Well, boy, you sure do get some great speakers there for that lunch and learn. Listeners can go online to the Grotto's webpage to learn more about it. And then lastly, you know, Chris, I can't let you go without asking you about how the grounds are looking. Boy, the spring season, we have just begun, and I know that the grounds there are about to just burst with life. How's your garden looking, Chris?
Well, it is beautiful as always. I mean, it's so inspiring, so spiritually moving to come up to the Grotto Upper Gardens any time of the year. But you're right, the daffodils have already popped out. We've already got some of the trees blooming, so it's a beautiful time to come. And I mean, we're talking about rebirth, right?
Mm-hmm.
So getting reborn in Christ, and our garden is going to be reborn, which is, again, a reminder of the rebirth of all of us in Christ.
Oh, thank you so much for sharing that. It just, as always, Chris, we can count not only on you, but your great team, staff and volunteers and the Servite Priests, everybody working together to create this beautiful experience during this Holy Week and Easter season. We thank you so much for joining us today.
Well, Brenda, it's always my honor to be on the air with you. Again, we have the same mission. We're bringing people to Jesus through the Blessed Virgin Mary.
Amen to that. Thank you, Chris. God bless you. And again, that is Chris Blanchard. He is the executive director of the National Sanctuary of Our Sorrowful Mother. We know it as the Grotto. I will be sure to add a link to today's podcast that'll get you right to the Grotto's webpage. You can see their full calendar of events, and you'll find those links at materdeiradio.com and on our Hail Mary Media app.
This is a new day. Everything must be with you.
It's incredible to know that all of the work that Chris and his team do there at the Grotto is all meant to serve the kingdom of God and the people here in Portland, Oregon, and across the nation. People come to visit Portland, Catholic or not, and one of the places so many of them go is there to the Grotto. They have so many programs, not just for this Lenten season, but every month of the year, there are things that are available for people to do. One of those is their lunch and learns. And Scott, you recently were part of that event. Tell us about it.
Yeah, I was able to do that just this week, this fourth week of Lent. And it was such a beautiful opportunity to talk to faithful Catholics about something that has become more a topic of interest and expression for me in my ministry as a deacon, this aspect of conversion. And certainly Lent is the time for conversion. And we welcome new people into the church. And that often takes kind of the focus throughout Lent. But what we also need to realize is that we who may have been Catholic for a while, maybe we were even cradle Catholics, we are constantly in process of conversion. So yes, there's converts to the faith, but even those who consider themselves practicing of the faith, conversion is for us as well. So trying to lead people to understand that the distinctions we might otherwise make, the categorizations we might otherwise make, we need to recognize that we are all in solidarity with one another, experiencing conversion, just like Peter did at the Sea of Galilee, when he dropped the nets in, trusting Jesus in that moment, and had this tremendous conversion to believe. And then again, when Jesus is at the Sea of Galilee after he's risen from the dead, and he offers Peter the opportunity to repent for having denied him three times. And once again, on that third time, when he says, "Yes, Lord, I love you," he has a full conversion into agape love at that moment. So I spoke about that. And again, my experience at the Grotto has been tremendous because I've had these moments of conversion to trust, as Mary did, to do whatever he tells us.
And Scott, as you said, this fourth Sunday of Lent, with just a few short weeks left in this Lenten journey, we continue to watch and pray for those who are coming into the church. And a discernment process for them, maybe kind of in these last weeks, discerning once again everything that they've done throughout their lives leading to this singular moment of transformation that's going to happen on Saturday's Easter Vigil. Boy, there's forces that are trying to pull them away from that good discernment that they've made so far. And it can be difficult for them and for all of us as we experience Easter again, anew this year.
Yeah, I think that's these last weeks, as we have done OCIA for many years, and as a deacon, I've prayed over so many individuals and been at Easter Vigil to see people come into the church. These last couple of weeks are the battle in many ways for them on their journey, because then doubt begins to creep in. Am I worthy? Am I lovable? And we as church need to be mindful of that and reach out when we know somebody is on the way to converting to become Catholic. We should be embracing them. If we're at Mass and we know somebody, to say, hey, I'm going to pray for you this week. I'm praying for you. I'm supporting you. I love that you are coming into the church to be part of Christ's family. I just think that we can say so much during this time to encourage people, because it is a struggle that we fight against Satan's will to try and lead us away. But my goodness, that's the value and the purpose of church. We cannot be saved isolated from one another. We can't. So then let's step up. Let's double, triple down on our commitment and conversion to help one another, especially those who are coming into the church, to be emboldened and say, yes, I believe. Yes, I want to receive Jesus' body and blood, soul and divinity.
Yeah, and as we hold them in prayer during these final weeks, we also remember to hold ourselves and each other in prayer. And as we are making those big decisions or small decisions in our life, we'll just know that the Lord is with us. He wants the best for us. And all we need to do is allow ourselves to be guided by the Holy Spirit in all that we do. Scott, before we go, will you end us in prayer?
Lord, as we approach the Holy Week and recognizing your life, death, and resurrection laid before us again in this Easter season that comes upon us, make last weeks of Lent an opportunity for us to discern more deeply how much we are loved, and to rebuke those thoughts that the devil may place in our minds that we are not loved, because they are lies. Help us to be strong in our faith, committed to one another, and to grow as church together. We ask all of this in your name, Jesus Christ. Amen.
And that is going to wrap it up for us this week. Please tune in next week as we share with you more stories about our faith, our family, and our view from the pew.
God bless and continue to have a great night.
You've been listening to View from the Pew, a weekly look at faith and family life from a Catholic perspective with Deacon Scott and Brenda Aiken. For more information on the Aikens and to listen to an archive of their previous shows, visit them online at materdeiradio.com/pew. View from the Pew is produced at the studios of Mater Dei Radio in Portland, Oregon.